Welcome to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between, a podcast for anyone ready to embrace life's ultimate truth. It ends. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, here to break down barriers around mortality through heartfelt conversations, personal insights, and practical tools for facing the end with courage and intention. Whether you're curious about death, navigating grief, or seeking ways to live more fully, this is your safe space to explore life's most transformative topics. Together, we'll turn fear into understanding and silence into connection. Hello, everybody. Check out my new fancy setup. It's almost like I'm doing this on purpose. Today, we're going to talk about I'm sad. Now what? This is Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between with me, Alexis Hughes, Death Doula, and we're taking a fearless look at life's final chapter. Today, we're going to use some science-based strategies and life coaching tools to move through sadness, grief, and emotional overwhelm with clarity and compassion. If you clicked on this episode, chances are you're not feeling great, or something's going on, or you're curious. Maybe you're deep in grief, or maybe you're sad and you don't know why. Or maybe you're just numb, tired, burned out. This episode isn't really about fixing your sadness. It's about making room for it, or whatever you call your sadness, your burnout, your numbness, your meh-ness. And then, whenever you're ready, figuring out how to walk with it instead of it being crushed on your shoulders. And so this episode, like I said, is called I'm Sad. Now what? It's not just about grief. We're going to talk about biology, psychology, identity, meaning, and just a little spritz of neuroscience. And how your sadness might be the beginning of something, but definitely not the end. Sadness isn't a sign of failure. It's a sign that you're still connected, or else you wouldn't be sad. So let's talk about it. We live in a culture that treats sadness like it's a malfunction. Feel sad? Take something. Numb it. Scroll it away. Make it go away as fast as possible. But sadness isn't a bug in the system. It is the system. It's working as intended. It's how we metabolize change in our lives. You're not weak for being sad. You're not broken. You are responding to loss, change, to uncertainty. A client of mine, call her Nina, once told me she cried on the bathroom floor every night for 2 weeks after her divorce. She kept apologizing. I know I should be over it. I should be doing better. I knew this was going to happen. I prepared for it. Like I went through the process. Why am I still upset? I should be over it. And so I asked her, says who? Who told you that your grief and your pain and everything that you were going through had an expiration date? Sadness and grief is a part of the process. And it's only when we stop resisting it that it begins to soften. Psychologist Dr. Joseph Forgas explains that sadness is functionally adaptive. It actually helps us focus, improves memory, increases motivation, and supports clearer moral decision-making. Sadness exists for a reason. We're just uncomfortable with it. So we try to hide it, or worse, shame people for feeling it. But feeling isn't a failure. It's a fully human response to grief, uncertainty, and change. When sadness shows up, don't treat it like an enemy. Treat it like a signal. Not a stop sign, not a punishment, just a signal. Let's talk a little bit about brain science. When you're sad, everything, especially grieving, the limbic system kicks in. That's your emotional brain, the part responsible for fear, fight or flight, deep memory, and emotional processing. And it doesn't speak in logic. You know, you often said that the head and the heart speak two different languages and they are commonly fighting one another. And that's your limbic system and your logic system. So here's what happens. Your limbic system perceives emotional loss sadness, grief, and anxiety the same way it perceives physical threat. That means your body responds with stress hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, inflammation, and things like that. And it narrows your perspective. So all you see is pain, danger, despair. Your prefrontal cortex, the part responsible for your rational thinking, gets temporarily quieted. You're in fight or flight. When your limbic system is active, your body is trying to keep you alive. So, according to brain imaging studies, social pain and physical pain light up the same exact areas of your brain. Grief is real pain, neurologically and biologically. So, pain, anxiety, sadness, grief, all of that lights up the same parts of your brain as if you have slammed your hand in a car door. It hurts just the same. So, when you're deep in sadness, your logical brain, your prefrontal cortex, kind of gets quiet. That's why you can't think your way out of it, right? My background is psychology. I have a ton of education in grief, but when I lose someone, I can't logic myself out of it. It's a physician heal thyself moment. We know better, but our emotional response is shutting down every kind of logical pathway we have to try to use our practice on ourselves. That's why you have to feel your way through it. When you feel sad and disoriented, know this: your brain isn't betraying you; it's trying to protect you. But sometimes that protection keeps you stuck, which is where our next set of tools come in. So, what I want to talk about very briefly as we get into some of the other concepts is negativity bias, why everything feels worse. Your brain is a beautiful liar. And when you're sad or upset, it lies a lot. You gaslight the heck out of yourself. Your brain is designed to prioritize danger. We're hardwired to remember the bad more than the good because that's what's kept us alive since caveman days. But in modern life, the wiring kind of distorts your reality. You could have five good things happen today, and you'll obsess over the one bad thing and say you've had a terrible day. And that's not just pessimism, that is neuroscience. The negativity bias is your brain's built-in alarm system. It evolved to help us survive by focusing on danger and threat. But it has a side effect. It makes the bad feel so much bigger, and it filters out the neutral and the good. And according to research by Dr. Rick Hansen and other neuroscientists, negative experiences imprint on the brain faster and stronger than positive ones. You need about five positive interactions to offset one negative one in terms of emotional memory. That means your sadness is being amplified by your survival system. That doesn't make your pain fake, but it does mean that your current outlook might not be the full picture. Think about one good thing that you overlooked today because your brain latched onto something negative. You're probably going to have to think about it a second. Wild, right? So I'm going to teach you about another one of my favorite tools. It's called opposite signal strategy. So when your limbic system is stuck in sadness, your body starts reinforcing that data. You slump, isolate, you obsess. But the opposite signal strategy is really easy. You gently do the opposite of what the emotion urges you to do. If sadness says, stay in bed, get up and stretch for 2 minutes. If it says, don't move, get up and walk to the mailbox. If it says, shut down, call someone safe and just say one sentence like, hey, I'm not okay. Whatever. If it says numb, give your nervous system a sensory rest, reset. Cold water, music, light, a quick, splash of cold ice water on the face, or even dunking your face in the bowl will physically reset your nervous system because you're in a state of nervous dysregulation and that's throwing everything off. So I'll tell you a story about a client of mine named Micah. Micah was grieving his brother's suicide, and he told me every night just feels like quicksand. I can't get up. It is pulling me down. I just can't do anything. So we made a deal. Every time he felt like collapsing, he'd take a walk to the mailbox. That was it. No goals, no promises, just movement. And it can be, you can dissociate through it. You can do whatever. Put in your headphones, just move your feet. And after 2 weeks, he was walking the whole block. Not because the sadness disappeared, but because he wasn't obeying it blindly anymore. You're not pretending that you're fine. You're just refusing to be passive in the pain. And that also gives you back control. You can bed rot, or you can get up and you can move around. You can go for a walk. You can walk to the mailbox. That gives you control and an action against the pain, which is really the first step to moving through it, is taking that first step. So really quickly, before we go to break, I'm going to introduce the concept of disputation. This one's my favorite. It's arguing with your inner critic. Everyone's got that little inner voice, a little demon on your shoulder, as it was. I find it is very helpful to give it a name and talk to it like you would anyone else trying to naysay you. My disputation demon's name is Brenda. So whenever we get up and we're starting to have those negative thoughts, no, I'm sorry, Brenda, not today. Not today, honey. We're not doing that today. And it feels so wild to talk to yourself like that. But when you separate yourself from the negative voice and the negative prompt and the negative thoughts, and you make it not a part of yourself, and it is outside of yourself, and you can talk to it and tell it to hush, that's super empowering. But we will get more into disputation theory after we take a quick break. So just a reminder that this is Alexis Hughes, Death Doula with Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. And we are talking today about I'm Sad, Now What? See you right back after the break.
Do you want to become a host? Start your own podcast to inspire, persuade, and influence others on what you're passionate about? At the Transformation Network, we can help make your talk radio dreams happen. Let's take your hopes, dreams, and passions and put them on air today. Email us at host@transformationtalkradio.com to learn more about becoming a host of your very own show.
Tune into Transformation Talk Radio for Afterlife Teacher, soul lessons bringing you full circle. Brand Blankenship will help you to begin to explore the deeper part of yourself in connection to your soul and your spiritual team. She will discuss the spiritual realm from the perspective of past lives and afterlife regression, and the soul lessons gained by clients during their spiritual regression sessions spanning the past 20 years. For more information, visit BrandBlankenship.com.
My new variety show takes you into aliveness with ancient wisdom, groundbreaking practices, and playful guidance. Create vibrant health, inspiring relationships, delicious sensuality, and flowing chakras, and maybe even enlightenment. It's fun, quirky, and deep. You'll find me, Dr. David, here on TTT every second and fourth Monday, noon Pacific. Tune in to aliveness now.
Living a life by design. It's the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose with host Esther Graham. Tune in every second and fourth Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Discover that what is possible is already in you. God designed a phenomenal life for you. At Living a Life by Design, Esther helps you ignite the energy behind your personal journey. For more information, visit fddwomen.com.
Join us on Awakened Soul. Your journey to freedom and true self begins here, streaming on Transformation Talk Radio. Each episode is designed to inspire, educate, and empower you to live authentically and embrace your true self. I am Sharon Kumara, a healing practitioner and metaphysical teacher. It is my mission to guide you toward realizing your true self and living a life free from fear and illusion. For more information, visit KumaraAcademy.com.
Let's talk about disputation. So this is a core cognitive behavioral tool. This one's big. Your brain is going to tell you stories when you're sad. And those stories are usually awful. Your brain creates automatic negative thoughts, especially when you're sad. And disputation is the process of challenging them with facts, not feelings. So, for an example, I will never be okay again. I'm never going to get over this. You know what? Shut up, Brenda. That's a feeling. The fact is, I've felt devastated before. I've had a broken heart before. I've lost before. And I'm still here. It's a really simple example. But it works, because fake it till you make it isn't just a saying. There are all kinds of scientific, psychological, and neuroscience studies that says it works. It is a mental placebo effect that actually forms habitus that makes you have a more positive mindset. I'm too broken to be loved. It'll never get better. I always ruin everything. These thoughts feel true because they're emotional. It's pinging everything in your limbic system to protect you from future hurt. But those things are often distorted. Disputation is the skill of arguing back, not with optimism, but with facts. So to teach yourself this skill, you want to think about it kind of in three ways. What is the evidence for this thought? What would I say to a friend who said this? And what's a more honest, less catastrophic version of what I'm trying to tell myself? What would I say to a friend who said this is a big one? Because in my circle, we have a practice of when anyone is having self-doubt, or they'll, you know, self-deprecating humor, we'll say, hey, don't talk about my friend that way. And you can say that to yourself, because who are you if not your own best friend and sometimes worst enemy? So feel free to not only just name that voice and tell it to hush, but think of yourself as your friend and remember that. So we're going to do a step by step. You can write this down or replay this as often as you need to. One, catch that thought. Catch it in your hands with a physical prompt. You can write down exactly what your brain said. And then two, we're going to challenge the absolutes. Is always or never actually accurate? The answer is no, because very rarely, if ever, are there absolutes. Step three, ask yourself for evidence. Can I prove this is true? Is there another angle? And step four, replace, don't erase. Reframe the thought into something equally honest, but less fatalistic. So just like I said above, I'll never be okay again. I'm never going to get over this. I'm experiencing deep grief, and my feelings are very strong right now. But the fact is, I've been through pain before, and I'm okay. That limbic system response is going to have your body convinced you are being hunted for sport. And sometimes, even talking to your body is helpful. I know I've had experiences in panic attacks where I've had to be like, hey, body, we're not running from lions on the Serengeti. You're fine. You're fine. And just talking yourself through that does help. So, as you're going through all of this, there is a stage of bewilderment before growth. And we often call that post-traumatic growth. It is real and it is a well-studied phenomenon. After intense loss or life disruption, people often experience a bewilderment phase. Everything feels unfamiliar. You feel like you're floating, disconnected, hollow, lost. But this isn't the end, and this is the prelude. After we experience the loss of a loved one, we have a lot of stuff going on with identity. Who even am I? An aspect of how I define myself has been lost. How do I refill that? How do I fix that? How do we remember who we are outside of them? And so, post-traumatic growth is a psychological theory backed by over 25 years of research, and it shows that many people who experience major loss or trauma report some things in common: deeper appreciation of life, stronger relationships, a new sense of purpose, greater personal strength, and spiritual development, not instead of pain, but alongside it. According to multiple studies, between 30 and 40% of people report significant psychological growth following a major trauma or loss, including increased resilience, deeper relationships, and stronger sense of purpose, like we mentioned before. A meta-analysis by Helgeson, Reynolds, and Tomich in 2006 found that over 50% of trauma survivors reported at least one major area of growth. It didn't erase their grief. It didn't make everything okay, but it did give their life new roots. Sadness breaks open the illusion of control, and what grows in its place can be real, raw, beautiful, whole, restorative. A lot of what I also see kind of in post-traumatic growth is a gratitude for still being alive. Especially if you are with someone who is coming to the end of their life, you experience all the coulda, woulda, shoulda, all the things that they wish that they had done. And after their passing, it often gives the people around them a greater will to live. And that's okay. If getting up in the morning just to see a sunset that your mom didn't get to see is enough to get you up the next morning to see a sunset, then that's what we're doing. You're sad. You've felt the fog. You've listened to the ache. Now what? Now you breathe. Now you do one small thing. Now you dispute the story that you're broken forever, beyond repair, that something is forever wrong with you that you can't come back from. And now you stand up, maybe slowly, but you do. And when the sadness returns, you don't panic. You say, I've been here before. Or, not today, Brenda. We're not doing that today. Because sadness isn't a sign of failure. It's a sign that you're still human, still connected, still in it. You do not have to get over your sadness, but you can grow around it. You can let your life stretch in new directions, and you can rebuild even if your foundation has chips. I know I use a lot of metaphor here about your foundation having chips and things like that, because those are things you see and you know to be true. almost everything can be repaired. So why not yourself? I was just talking to a friend today about doing self-care, and she said, yeah, I haven't had a facial in, I can't remember when. I haven't gotten a massage. I haven't done anything for me at all. And I said, right, because people think of things like massages or life coaching or therapy or anything like that as a luxury. Why? You get the oil changed in your car, you get new tires, you get your teeth cleaned, you see a doctor. So do small things for your self-care. It's not luxury, it's maintenance. And like I've famously told folks, you can decide when you are going to take care of yourself, or your body is going to decide for you at a very random and inopportune time. So again, remember today we're talking about some wonderful strategies and how to combat them. Negativity bias. It takes five good things to overpower one negative one. So go back every day when you think you've just had a terrible, terrible day and take score. There's a lot more good stuff happening than you think. And hold on to those things like a life raft. That's okay. We talked about opposite signal strategy. Literally do the opposite of whatever your brain is telling you, even if it's something small. Even if your brain is telling you, stay in bed, get up, walk to the kitchen, get a glass of water. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Disputation, arguing with your inner critic. Give it a name, tell it to shut up. And so if you found everything helpful today, you've been listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. If this episode gave you the language for what you've been feeling, and if you're ready to stop hiding from sadness and start working with it, I'd love to work on you one-on-one. If you'd like to support that path and you're ready to start moving even a little, I offer private life coaching sessions, and you can learn more or book a free consult at withoutfeardoula.com. We'll move at your pace with truth, with strategy, and with care. Remember, you're allowed to feel sad. You're allowed to stay sad for a while, but you don't have to stay alone. So until next time, take care of yourself without fear.
I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, and you've been listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Join me every third Monday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard on Transformation Talk Radio for honest conversations about life's final chapter. Together, we'll break down barriers around mortality and empower you with practical tools to start meaningful conversations with your loved ones about end-of-life wishes. To learn more about end-of-life support and my work as a death doula, visit withoutfeardoula.com. Thanks for listening.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.